Jessica Lynn is an advocate and activist for the transgender community. She's a Kinsey Institute Global Ambassador with Indiana University and a Stonewall School role model, to name a few distinctions. GLT's Mary Cullen spoke with Lynn ahead of her speaker series presentation at Illinois State University tomorrow night.
Let's talk about your journey as a transgender woman. How old were you when your transition began?
45 years old. I did not begin my transition, but I knew at the age of about 4.
Were you in a supportive environment as a child, or is there a story behind there?
I was born in Southern California in Los Angeles area. I had 4 brothers and an older sister. And I was born in 1965. I'm 53 years old. And it was not something I knew about, understood, and it was just not something I had ever heard about, if that makes sense to you. But I knew at the age of about 4 and a half years old that I desperately, desperately wanted to be a girl, and I didn't understand it, you know. So I would kept it hidden. And I did things to cope. Whatever I did, I obsessed with. And so when I'm a young child, my mom was a religious woman, and she said, Jeff, if you pray hard enough, God will move mountains. So I was at my hands and knees every single night begging God at 4 or 5 years old to turn me into a girl, you know, crying myself to sleep night after night after night, not understanding it, just wanting to be a girl. It just didn't make sense to me. So to stop the thinking of it constantly, I would start doing things. I collected insects. I collected bugs. I collected stamps. I started oil painting. So it was a coping mechanism. It's very, very common in the older LGBT community because we grew up in a time where it was no such thing, no understanding of it. And when somebody talked about gay, or if you saw a guy on the television wearing a dress, they were ridiculed. They were made fun of. They were driven out of town. And so why would you want to come out and say this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Then during your life, by the time that you got to 45, what inspired you to or empowered you to really realize your true self?
I ended up, you know, like my presentation when I speak, You'll hear my presentation. What I do is I do a lot of presentations, but my most powerful, powerful presentation is my life story. And it helps students and people and the general people understand that I'm just a normal, everyday person, and people in our community are everyday, normal people. And so I'm going to tell you my life story. And it talks about being a young child, dealing with the coping mechanisms, and what I did to deal with it. So when I finally came out, I ended up becoming a father of 3 children. And finally, at 45 years old, I could not handle it anymore. And finally decided I had to transition at 45 years old. It was do or die.
So how would you say your experiences through your transition led you to become a world-traveling transgender advocate and speaker that you are today?
When I transitioned, I wanted to, go live the stealth life. I wanted to never say I'm a transgender person. I wanted to go become just a woman, live a normal life, find a boyfriend, a husband, and just live that dream life. You know, that some people, Jazz Jennings can do, and a few, Avery Jackson can do. You know, these younger people can do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know anything about my story, and what I'll get into detail is I'm a father of 3, and I had a full legal physical custody of all 3 children here in California. I went through a 3-year legal battle, and it was brought up that I was transgender. Their mother tried to throw it at the judge, and the judge did not care and gave me full physical custody of all 3 children. We made arrangements, and I came out to my 2 older boys, and they were fully fine with it. And all she asked is that we wait until my youngest is 12. So we waited till my youngest is 12. I called her and said, it's time we tell him. She said, F you, file a restraining order. And I went through a huge legal battle with the state of Texas. And the state of Texas ordered some major, major stuff on me. And their evaluator came back and said I was the better parent. But in June of 2013, the judge removed all of my parental rights to my youngest child. He took my name off my child's birth certificate. It went all the way up to the Department of Justice. And he said, there's really not much you can do about it. You know, this judge crossed every T, dotted every I. And they said, go start speaking about it.
So what's your overall goal for the Butterfly Project then? I mean, it might have changed from when you started it to now, but today, what do you see it as you're hoping to achieve?
To make the world accepting to every shade of gray in the transgender community. In the United States, there's 1.4 million people that identify as trans. That's 1.4 million different people. We're all different. We're all unique. We all have different shades of gray. So we want the whole people to be less discriminatory so that if I come to you and say, okay, I'm a trans woman, who cares, you know? What we want to do is to have the whole world be more accepting to people in our community. And if I can make a little bit of an effort to help change the world, that's my goal, you know?
Yeah.
And to keep the conversation, part of my conversation, this presentation this year is called the Butterfly Project. And I use a butterfly a lot because it was an escape tool at a young child. And then it's the butterfly effect. Towards the end of my presentation, I ask everybody in the audience to go home and tell at least one member of their family, friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, sister, cousin, aunt, whoever, what they had heard that night, to continue the conversation, to keep it going, to, you know, it's not just 1, 2, 5 people that are changing the world. We all of us, every single one of us, need to continue the conversation to change the world.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mary Cullen talking with Jessica Lynn, an advocate and activist for the transgender community. After speaking in 18 different countries, what are some of the differing cultural contexts for transgender people?
I have found that England is the most, so far out of my travels, England is the most accepting country in the world that I have found so far, okay? Not all of England, but most of England, the big cities. It's a very, very diverse community. But you go to Poland, and they are not, it's a fairly conservative government, and people are scared to come out. The government makes it very, very difficult for you to transition there. You know, you have to jump through so many hoops to get a name change, to get, you know, to go through surgery. They make it, they almost criminalize it, if that makes sense. They haven't, but it's a very, very difficult thing. So about 6, 7, 8 months ago, I spoke at a psychology group on University, I think it was University of Warsaw. And then I was asked to come back to go speak to all these psychologists that are around the area in Warsaw, want to meet with me to help them understand more about the transgender community to help with their clientele. I mean, there's literature everywhere out in the world, but there's just not enough to speak about it in Poland. But India is a fascinating place, and that's actually where I came up with the idea of the Butterfly Project. I spent 3 weeks in India. India just decriminalized homosexuality. So different parts of the world are different understandings, different feelings. And to be honest with you, the most difficult places I've ever been to are the southern part of the United States. I've never had an issue. You know, I've probably given close to 700, 800, 900 lectures in my years doing this. I've never had an issue, but they there really tended to be the most discriminatory that I've met.
So how do you handle those situations?
With humor. I have to. You know, you have to smile. It's much, much easier to smile and to turn it into something positive than to turn it into a negative. And if somebody says something to me, I smile and I turn it around. And it'll make them feel uncomfortable and say, what am I saying this? That's stupid of me. So I go through life. I keep a very, very, very positive outlook. And that's the way it is. It's easier to smile than it is to frown. And, you know, I'm tall. I'm blonde hair. 99% of the people have no idea that I'm transgender, right? I pass very well. But when I walk through an airport, people tend to stare at me. I'm tall. And I was in a thrift store about a year or two ago. And I walk in, and this girl's sitting there staring at me, and she comes walking up, and I'm smiling, you know. She comes walking up, she goes, can I ask you a question, a personal question? You know, I was waiting for, are you transgender? She goes, are you a rock star? She goes, every time you come in here, you have the most badass hair. You know, so I think that people are staring at me for my being transgender, but they're not. They're curious. I stick out. I stand out a little bit more. I hold my head up. I'm proud of who I am. I'm not afraid to tell anybody of who I am.
So, I mean, we're talking now about the surprising and nice sides, but we also know that there continues to be many acts of violence against people in the LGBTQ community. Do you have any fear?
No. Like I said, I'm lucky I pass. When I meet a guy and if I start dating a guy, I am one that will tell a guy first. I started dating a guy once, and about the second or third date, he says, where's your children's father? And I was dumbfounded, and it can be a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
So when I meet a guy and he asks me out, I'm pretty much upfront with him. And that, to me, is the only dangerous situation I can find myself in.
Along those lines, you have children, and it sounds like they're a bit older, but how do you balance the risks that you're taking for the cause and the need to keep both your children and yourself safe?
The one that's with me, you know, that supports me now is Jeffrey, and he's 27 years old. He's my strongest ally. As I said, they took away my parental rights to my youngest child, and I haven't seen him since 10 years old. So I don't stress about that, if that makes sense.
Switching gears a little bit, how do you handle people who may have some hesitation to ask you about your experiences, whether they're unaware of what's considered to be politically correct or they just haven't been around someone who is transgender before?
When somebody hears me speak, they know that I'm an open book. I'm very, very, very approachable. I leave my email address up there, and I said, I am going to come outside of the hall. You know, sometimes I just do classrooms. Sometimes I've flown to Delaware to speak to 10 students. Sometimes I'm in halls of 2,000, 3,000 people, and I will tell them, you know, I will walk outside, and if you want to ask me a personal one-on question, I will answer it. If you have an email, if you want to email, there's my email, and I will contact you back, and I will stay on the phone with you, and I'll talk to you. I am extremely approachable.
What would you say your message is for the cisgender community?
That is my main target audience, is the cisgender community, to become more aware and accepting. Most cisgender people in the world, they don't know much about the transgender community, but once they hear somebody, once they meet somebody, it opens their mind up. And they say, well, I was going through TSA in Heathrow, and this guy, the TSA agent, a really good-looking guy, David Beckham lookalike, and we started talking. He goes, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm speaking. What are you speaking about? He closed his window and pulled me aside, and we had a 10-15 minute conversation. He said, what about your children? What if one of them comes to you and says, Dad, I want to be a girl? He goes, I never, never thought about that. 95% of the students that I speak to will become parents one day. Some of them will have a child will come and say, I'm gay, I'm trans, I'm bi, I'm genderqueer, somewhere in that spectrum, and it's going to open their eyes up a little bit more.
So in your opinion, would you say that society is moving towards acceptance and celebrating the lives and journeys of transgender people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have an administration right now. I mean, you can see where I am politically, but we have an administration right now that is going backwards in time, but people are fighting back.
So we talked about your message to cisgender people. What is your message to transgender people?
That don't be ashamed of who you are. Feel comfortable, feel proud wherever you fit in that gender spectrum. The biggest problem, when I came out and transitioned, my local community, there was a few people said, you had to transition this way. You have to wear clothes like this. They criticized me for wearing short skirts and 5-inch stilettos. You know, I used to go to a tanning salon, and I looked halfway decent, and they would criticize me and say, you have to do it this way, you have to do it this way. But there is no specific way to transition. I want the transgender community to transition the way they want to transition. So if you say, I want to be a boy, you don't have to follow any rules. There are rules that you have to follow to have surgeries and that specific things to be on hormones and all that. But for me to say you have to dress like this, you have to wear this kind of clothing, you have to wear your hair like this, bullshit. You have to be who you are. And that's my biggest advice to people is feel comfortable and transition as fast as you feel comfortable doing it.
Jessica Lynn is speaking as part of Illinois State University's speaker series on September 26th at 5 p.m. Thanks so much for speaking with us, Jessica.
Thank you so much. That was fun.
I'm Mary Cullen.
Transgender advocate and activist Jessica Lynn speaks at ISU at 5 p.m. Wednesday night. That talk is part of the speaker series at ISU and Queer Talks. It's free and open to the public. This is Sound Ideas.